Welcome. I'm grateful, thankful to be here this morning. Thank you, brothers, for laboring and sharing the burdens that God has laid on your heart. This morning when Justin was going through Psalm 1, the beauty of being planted by the river, the source of God, and we have it all. That we can be planted here and bear fruit. But in verse 5, where it says, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. And I think it's all us brothers and sisters' desire that we would be a righteous people. But then what about the sinners? They're not able to stand with us. And how does that look? That was a question that came to my mind. How does it look that the sinners cannot stand with us? Then also, in what Brother Justin shared, I will just confess here this morning that, was it last week or the week before, the connection lady that we had connected with for the Keene Grange had text me about the air conditioner, something about the wire not working or not functioning right. If I know anything or that it's not working properly, and I just text back, I don't know or I don't remember. But later I was like, I do remember. I think we had, when we opened the window to take it out, it fell down and was not unplugged. But I thought we had tested it and everything was working fine. But I was reminded of that this morning, that I did not take responsibility to make sure that everything's taken care of. And I don't want to continue here and having that hinder today's message. So I want you to hold me accountable. I want that to be taken care of and cleared up. Why don't we all rise for a word of prayer this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come this morning knowing that you care, that we can bring all our cares, and that we have the privilege of confessing and being healed. Lord, we all are needy people, and we know that you care about every need that we have, whether big or small. Father, we come needing you to minister to our needs. We come asking for your grace, for your strength, for your comfort. And we pray that you would minister to all of us today as we desire to grow in you, as we desire to be your people, and we desire to stand with you, Lord. We ask that you would help us to grow today. We come before your throne and ask that you would show us your way. Pray that you would help me to share in a way that I would be a vessel for you, Lord, not for the glorifying of myself, in any way, but that you would be glorified. We look to you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. To do good and to communicate, forget not. You can turn to Hebrews 13. It's where that verse is found. Hebrews 13, verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And one of my first thoughts went to, how does God communicate to us, to his creation? And if we look at creation, the beauty of how God had formed different times. If you go into Genesis 1, it says God said, God made, God did things. He communicated with the earth that he saw a need of. And he wanted to create something beautiful. And he communicated. And beautiful things happened. Even just the definition of communicate. To impart, to give to another as a partaker. To confer for joint possession. To bestow as that which the receiver is to hold. Retain, use, or enjoy. And that is a beautiful picture of God willing to give. Willing to give of what he had to create the world. And it's much deeper than sharing what I know. The knowledge I have. Or the knowledge that you have. It goes much, much deeper. Communication is not just speaking words. It's not just sharing what we think should happen. But it's actually communicating what God wants. The more I studied into this, the more I, with the beauty of being partakers of God, God wants us to illustrate what we have partaken of from him and share that with each other. Share that with a lost people. And how important is it that God desires to connect with his people, to connect with even the animals, even the little creatures of this earth? It's very, very important. And we could go into many details in how God gives attention to what he has created, whether it's a little worm or a bird or a bear or us created humans. God said, God made, God did. God's power was communicated. How does a little bird know when it's time to fly south? We say it's the instinct God has given them. But it's something that God communicates to every little bird, because they don't all go to the same place. Some go to one place, others go to another place, but God tells them where to go. That little thing that God imparts in even the little animals. God loves to give. How does the bear know when it's time to eat more? When it's time to hibernate? When it's time, how long to sleep? How does he know that? God cares. And we could look at many, many different animals and things, how God created this, how God made that, how God... But we always come back, if it's anything beautiful, it's always comes back to God. And what he did and what he is communicating to us. I would like to look at some postures that we need to have to continue to be at a place that God can continue to communicate with us. So you can let your mind go in those areas. What are the postures that God wants us to have so that he can continue to communicate with us? Yesterday we came across a scripture in Joshua where the sin of Achan was not exposed yet. And they said, few men. It doesn't take many men to go over to AI and wipe them out. We can do that easily. We don't need 40,000 men. We can only take 2,000 or 3,000. But I find it beautiful that with God not being with them, they couldn't get the victory. They couldn't have the victory. But it's because God was not with them. It wasn't because they couldn't have taken them. I think if God would have been there, we have other stories where one and two men fought and great victories were won without men's help. But God could not dwell because sin was there. Amen. And what was the posture when Joshua found out? What was the posture that he had when he found out that there is sin among them? Can anyone help me with that? He fell on his face. And all the elders of Israel fell on their face and put dust on their heads. Are we sorry for our sin? What about Mary when Jesus said she has chosen the good part? She was sitting at Jesus' feet. She was receiving what we gathered this morning from Justin's message, a tree of life right here. If we're planted here, there's much to be had. God gave us the ability to read His Word. Praying, meditating, humbling ourselves. Are there any others that are going through your mind to remind us what postures we need for God to help us to continue to grow, continue to be at that place where God can communicate with us because He sees where we're at, that He can speak to us and we can grow thereby? Are there any others that are going through your mind to help us remember? I shared falling on our faces, sitting at Jesus' feet by reading God's Word, studying, praying, meditating, which could also mean scripture memorization. I believe the word meditate actually means to murmur or resound again and again God's Word. It's meditating. In thinking about communication, I also thought of the word communion. Very dear, how God has put that there for us to not forget, to remember what He has done for us. As oft as you do this in remembrance of God, what He has done for us. And He continues to want to communicate with every one of us. There's nobody in here this morning that God doesn't desire to bestow His love, to speak to us, to work in us, to help us grow. And sometimes we look at our problems, we look at the mountains, we look at the things we face, we look at the busyness of life, and we say, how can we get through this? It's too big. But we're focusing on that. There's no mountain too big. God is drawing. God is calling. God is desiring. But where are we? How is our posture? Maybe you're here this morning not converted. How is God going to call you? Maybe those questions are going through your mind. Let's not think that just because we have areas that we need to grow, that God will forget us. He won't forget us. If our desire is to turn to Him and know of Him and learn of Him and seek Him, He will speak to us. Right. And also I want to encourage all of us that sometimes we fall into the trap of nobody knows or nobody has this problem that I have. Nobody understands me because I'm different than anybody else. God was tempted in all points like as we are. He's willing to communicate with us. He's willing to connect with us. And that is why we have the verse in John 3:16 where he says, "For God so loved the world." He so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever will should not perish, but have everlasting life. He wants to communicate that with all of us. But in even this, it comes back to he is the foundation. He is the source. There is no other way. There is no other. All of us brothers, when we get up to preach, there's no other God that we can preach about that has the source of life that our God has. And the foundation, the sure, we have no sure word of prophecy, no more. There's no other. We have the sure word. We have the rock. And in the meaning of communication, if we are not, we can't think that we can go out and share something about God if we have not obtained or taken part of it for ourselves. The most beautiful way to convict other people is living out, walking with God. And people will be convicted. I've seen it different times already, and it blesses me every time. But every time that actually can happen is when I'm a channel to serve. It doesn't happen when I try to prove my own way or try to force something. But it does happen when I live out my convictions. But his desire is that we partake of him, the rock, the foundation. In Acts 17, verse 24, God that made the world, which is right after Paul was going through and found the inscription to the unknown God. Then the next verse says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. He giveth all those things if we desire them, if we desire to partake of that. In verse 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bonds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Very encouraging. He wants to be with all of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. We can be his children. Let's look at some verses where the word partaking comes forth. In Colossians 1, we have a verse. Colossians 1, verse 10 to 12. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of what? Partakers of his inheritance. Of the saints in light. So it's not only partaking with God, but it's also with each other. Because personally, if we all connect with God and we're communing with Him and He's communicating with us, then we can have fellowship one with another. Hebrews 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. So we have something from God that He called us to, and we are partaking of that. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to Him that appointed Him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. I find it beautiful to see the authority that Jesus was under, and He was willing to obey His Father. And then it mentions Moses, and he was willing to be meek and to be guided by God, so that holiness can come forth. Hebrews 12, verse 10 is another one. And Hebrews 12 is a chapter of God's chastening. Lately I heard a message on where he was speaking about God's chastening, and he said he often prays that God would do it quickly. If we go astray, that God would quickly show us and chasten us. Because we know that if our children are rebellious, it started somewhere. And if we can quickly be reminded of where we're turning aside, and God can show us, it's His love, it's His communication to us that He wants us to communicate with Him, not to turn from Him. Right. Hebrews 12, verse 10, for they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, talking about our fathers doing it, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. He doesn't just chasten us so that He's controlling us and that we are under Him, but it is because He loves to see us being holy, being purged, being cleansed. 2 Peter 1, verse 1 to 4. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied. Beautiful picture. Unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. So we've looked at some verses that brought out His holiness, partaking of His inheritance, partaking of, and here it is, of His divine nature. Why did people want to spend time with Jesus? Was a question that came to my mind. What was He doing, and how was His nature that people loved to be with Him? But then I also thought, there's also a reason why people wanted to kill Him. Because he wasn't turning aside from sin, but he had a path that He was sharing. But the people that were wanting to follow Him, were wanting to be there, changed, and follow His ways, they had a desire to be with Him because He had something that they desired to have. The next thing we'd like to look at and thinking about communication, let's think about ways that we communicate to each other in ungodly ways. And I don't want this to be a negative message, because later we want to look at positive and godly ways that we communicate. But what are some negative ways that we sometimes communicate? And maybe it can help us to see ourselves and to grow, because God wants to communicate with us. He loves His creation. He loves His people. But there are ways that we communicate sometimes that, yeah, I would like to hear from you what your thoughts are. I wrote some down, but what are some ways that we communicate, and how do we communicate? Is it only by words? What other ways do we communicate to each other? Our attitudes. Very good. Any others that are crossing your mind?
Negative things about other people.
Negative.
Also known as gossip.
Mm-hmm. Gossip. Speaking negatively about other people. What about the looks that we give each other? Is anger a way that we communicate in ways that are not pleasing, not godly? Any others? Do Christians pout? That was one that came to my mind. Do we pout sometimes? We tell the children, no pouting. But depending on what we face, we feel it. Not communicating. I have one here, avoiding. Maybe just avoiding the brother or sister is communicating something. Those were most of what I had written down. And later I'd like to hear from you on the positive ways that we can encourage each other, that the fruit of godliness is coming forth. And I don't want this to be a list so that now we're discouraged because we have some pouting in our life or we have some anger in our life. But Lord, there's no mountain too big that God doesn't want to help us change. But let's be willing to look at it what it is and let Him communicate to us and then repent and turn to Him. Let's not be discouraged, because that just adds to whatever we're facing. And let's remember that God, He is the foundation. He is the source that we can go to. And if we acknowledge our sin and we repent, there's promises for us. There's healing. I also had to think with confessing our faults so that we can be healed. Are we healed instantly? Does every wound heal instantly? I haven't experienced that. But I think if we do confess, healing can start to happen, if it's not a thing that heals right away. So let's have that exercise. Let's not stop doing that. Let's not make the mistake of living with bad habits and thinking that that is just the way I am. But let's remember that God wants to continue to help us grow in those areas. He wouldn't have had to come if He desired for us to all be the way we are. But when sin came into the world, He sent His only begotten Son so that we can be free from these things.
Amen.
And as beautiful as it is to look at His creation and how things flow so smoothly together, even the reality of some animals eating other animals, but it's all part of how God feeds one animal and uses the other for that, or as we talked about the birds or the bears, all those things, God wants us to be a harmony, how He has created people to be. And since Adam and Eve sinned, He has been in the process of connecting with the sin of every person and to help us get rid of that. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. Why do we need to be reminded to do good? Why do I need to be reminded? Don't forget it. Communion, as oft as you do it in remembrance of Me. There's many other, we could pull many other scriptures to remember God, to remember what He is trying to teach us. He wants to communicate. Okay, let's look at some of the godly ways that we can have postures of encouragement for each other. I'd like to hear from you on what are good things that we can be encouraging at each other, or things, postures of when you think of being as a family together or being here today with each other. What are things that we can be doing for each other that is a godly influence and a godly encouragement in the posture and in how we communicate with each other? Looks was one thing. The looks that we give each other can be positive or negative, godly or ungodly. So I think it's good if we continually evaluate what are those things that we can be doing that encourage each other, that are good ways to respond to each other. Are there any thoughts? What are good postures, good things we can be doing for each other? Words of encouragement. What was that? Smiling, yes. Very good. There's something about a smile that tells you something about that person. He's okay with you.
Right.
Any others? Listening. Amen. That's only for the men, right, Levi? I need that. To listen. Do I listen when my children want to tell me something? I might not care about it. But let's remember that I was that little boy one day. I was that little girl one day. Do I listen? Do I listen to my wife when she shares things that are not a big deal to me? But do I listen? Thank you. Any others?
Quietly serving.
Praise the Lord. Sometimes we desire to do big things. We desire to serve so that other people might see us. In fact, I would rather be sitting back there than standing up here. But if everybody would feel that way. Giving attention. Thank you. Yes. We might be telling our children or our wife that we're listening to them. Go on. But they're saying, no, you're not listening. Stop. Good. Any other ways? Can we give little gifts in ways that show that we truly care? I wrote one down, not always being right. I need that reminder to think on how we can fix this or do this. And it makes my wife or children feel that I'm always right. Let's not do that. I have another one here that I would desire to grow in and do more is writing little notes. It doesn't have to be many words, but our children know, our wife knows, if we truly care, a couple words. It doesn't take much time. And here again, we can easily feel like, well, I'm not strong in that point, and maybe we aren't. But are we at the posture where God can communicate with us and we desire to grow with Him? That doesn't mean that we change and we need to change everything. But if we can take one thing and grow in that, and then we take another thing and grow in that, as God shows us, as God helps us in those things, He wants to communicate with us. And also, it was mentioned already, but I have it on here, in thinking of preparation for the tent meetings, are we truly at a posture where God can speak to us? Do we desire for this week and next week for God to communicate, whether it's His love, whether it's areas He desires us to grow in, whether it's whatever it may be, are we willing for Him to communicate with us so that we may grow? Because He loves to communicate with us. And as He communicates, we can commune together. Husbands, fathers, are we willing to do good and communicate? And as I was writing that down, I felt the responsibility of all the different areas that fathers have responsibility of. Our wives, our children, our homes. What should we work? Where should we go? How should we do this? How should we do that? There is a lot of responsibility. And sometimes we as dads try to do it on our own. I do. But let's turn to God, the rock, the source. Are we willing to listen? And I feel a great need for myself. Are we loving our wife? Are we communicating love to them? To our children? So that we're not provoking them to anger. Do the children see us desiring to grow? Wives, mothers, let's be willing to do good and to communicate. And in this, I think I can be honest that our wives know our desires, know our visions, know our longings. They also know our mistakes. But stand by your husbands, pray for them. Be willing to communicate when you can encourage. God wants to speak to all of us. And also another way that I thought of, moms can be a beautiful channel to communicate dad's desire to the children. And it's a way that the children can see that mom and dad are together in this. Sons and daughters, be willing to communicate with your own parents. We parents are not perfect, but we desire to hear from you. We're longing that you come to us and share your burdens, share your big questions that you have questions with. Maybe you don't know how to ask it. Maybe you're not sure that dad or mom will listen. I would encourage you to ask. I think we all desire to grow. Ask those big questions. In Hebrews 13, a couple verses before verse 16, verse 12, wherefore Jesus also had to go outside the camp that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, being willing to take the cross daily. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So it's the sacrifice of praise and the sacrifice of doing good and communicating. And I had to think of the Old Testament sacrifices were a daily thing, and we can groan if we look at everything they needed to do those sacrifices every day. How many animals did it take? But then I also had to think of the three sacrifices. Praise to God, doing good, and communicating. Forget it not. Forget it not. Let's do it daily. Let's bring those sacrifices to God. He is the one that's communicating it to us. And understanding each other as we are growing, I feel, is an important part. Because sometimes we want somebody to change everything rather than watching them grow and helping them grow. That is what I desire for you, that you help me grow. But if you come and try to fix everything, I will probably feel overwhelmed. But let's encourage each other that let's continue to grow and let's communicate. I also had to think of how we can understand each other. We have Javier's back here. It's hard sometimes to communicate. But we can freely talk to each other and clearly understand each other. But then I also had to think, sometimes we don't understand this word like we should. What is God wanting to communicate? But we're trying to figure it out by our own thinking and our own ways rather than looking at how God thinks about it. Because he has ways that he wants us to think and do things, but sometimes we don't turn to that. And then we don't clearly understand the will of God. Another question I had to ask myself was, are there any areas in my life that God would desire to communicate with me yet? Or that he would desire for me to understand more clearly or grow in? Because he loves to communicate with me. He loves to communicate with you. And in closing here, I'm going to turn to or continue there in the end of Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. Now, the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, the great shepherd, he is the one, he is the rock. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. It's not what we want to do, but it is God's desire to work in us. His will, his perfection. May the Lord bless you.